Chapter 1. My beginnings. My first skill, which I remember, was a prayer. My pious mother taught me the Our Father very early, together with Hail Mary and I Believe in God. I often had to demonstrate my arts to visitors, and it rarely happened that I would not receive a kreutzer for my efforts. When I was 6, I started making shoes from worthless leather cuttings, stretching them over that lasts of my own making. From such cuttings, one could produce shoes about as big a thumb, but they were shoes nevertheless, and they were in demand by the admirers of the youthful entrepreneurship. One pair of such shoes required a full day of diligent work. Their price fluctuated between 4 to 10 kreutzers. This was a pretty good reward if we consider that the value of 4 kreutzers was a fourther, a coin from pure copper of the size of today's crown. The value of 10 kreutzers represented a sixer, made of pure silver of the size of today's 20 heller. Before the Easter holidays, together with the other boys from our area, I took part in the collective enterprise called Rattling. We elected our boss. Those who did not come on time were given a mark. One mark represented a penalty of 1 kreutzer. I did not want to get a mark. For the morning rattling, my brother and I used to wake up at 4 o'clock. But rarely did we manage to catch up with the boys at our gathering place. So there was always plenty of marks. Each day I added up our treasurer's income, and before starting the division I had all the earnings added and multiplied, and the total divided by the number of rattlers. However, the boss and his treasurers arrived at a different account. According to their count, everybody should have barely a half of what was due. Bitterness, anger, and even revolt, which such injustices inspired in me, cannot be measured. I asked my father for help, but he declared that this is how the world works, and he preferred to pay his money for the losses I suffered. He shared only in my sorrow over the human wickedness. At that time, I already became distrustful of cooperatives. When I was allowed to go to fairs, the circle of my enterprises started to widen considerably. At the beginning, I provided only assorted services to the merchants, helping them in and out of their boots, carrying their shoes, that sort of thing. Such services were paid mostly in the form of drink money. My rewards started at 0 and ended at about 2 kreutzers level. All such earnings I saved at the post office. The money was deposited in the following way. One bought postage stamps for 5 kreutzers each and pasted them on a card. When there was 10 stamps on the card, the postmaster entered the deposit in the saving book. When I was 10, my mother died. With her, I lost not only the solicitous mother's care, but that of my father's as well. 2 years later, we moved from Zlín to Uherské Hradiště. My father was born entrepreneur. He was attracted to everything demanding courage, but he lacked persistence. The first obstacle he encountered spoiled his appetite for the old and instilled his hope for some new project. My father was a smoker and he used to meet with his neighbors in the tavern. In those days, sitting in the pub and smoking were inseparably associated with the concept of manliness. Yet he always cautioned us to avoid the weakness of smoking, because he knew that words were too weak to keep human wants under control. He guided our education with great ingenuity by deeds, work, and enterprising. First, he gave us the opportunity, or he showed us, how to make money. Then, he allowed us to keep our earnings. In this way, he suppressed the intensity of our desires and taught us the tending of capital. Both my and my brother's life were closely interconnected with our father's business. When business was good, we had enough to eat. When it went badly, there was hunger. At 12, I understood quite clearly what had to be done in order to avoid hunger. At 14, I had the whole sales part in my own hands. It meant that I already held the hunger firmly by its horns. I completed the 4-year public school in Zlín. At the beginning of my 5th year, we moved with our parent to Uherské Hradiště, and I entered the German school there. There was none other. Only few pupils actually knew German. I did not know any. The classes in Zlín were in Czech. My school attendance was poor because I was needed for watching. I neglected the first 2 months of school, and that of course detracted from my further schooling because I missed the beginning. In spite of everything, my older brother Antonín managed to get very good grades at this school. In Uherské Hradiště I did not learn anything, and the little I brought with me from Zlín I almost entirely forgot. Our father did respect education, but it was often necessary to put business before school. There were no books and newspapers at our home, with the exception of Farmer's Almanac, which was needed around because of the country fairs. Businessmen then considered books and newspapers a luxury, suitable perhaps for the gentleman. When I reached 14, I dropped out of the school and entered the apprenticeship at my father's. At this time, I also met with my first book, which contained something else than the almanacs. One day, the son of our journeyman, Sirotska, brought us the pictorial history of the Czech nation. Although I liked books, the best school of my life was my employment. My father could expand the shop very soon because I managed to sell our products at fairs in surrounding towns. Now we started to have plenty of everything, and most of all, money. My father bought the raw material on credit from Kodich & Co. in Vienna. The money he took in, he deposited in silver guldens in our armoire. My self-confidence grew together with my success at work. One day I determined that I am not sufficiently recognized. The journeymen did not want to unlearn their boxing on my ears, and even father was not appreciative of my work. I decided to stand up on my own feet. I asked my father to pay me the dowry of 200 guldens inherited from my mother, which he had arranged to redeem from the orphans' trust when we ran into some very bad times. But my father wisely ignored my request. So I left without money. I settled down in Vienna, where my sister Anna worked as a servant at that time. She contributed 30 guldens to my small capital. I supplied the elan of my youth, and I started on my own. I set up a small workshop at my relatives in Döbling. I started with Mikado shoes. That was my misfortune. My father started producing this kind of footwear shortly before my departure, with big hopes for the future, but without any experience. I took over both his hopes and his ignorance, and in addition, started the business from the wrong way. Instead of selling a part of produced goods first, and then continued with the production, I sinked my entire capital into the first production. I did not know the language, and I did not know the market. Finished goods I could not sell because they did not satisfy the requirements of the market. Fortunately, my father was out looking for me. He needed me. My cousin explained that I cannot work without a card, and that the police had already inquired about me. I have to go to Hradiště to apply for my trade permit. So I went back to Hradiště, and there I remained. After coming back to my father, I took charge of the sales again. But I did not like the selling at fairs anymore. I saw too many disadvantages in it, so I listened very carefully when market men talked about delivering their goods to Prague. I brought a map and found the location of Prague. When my father gathered from my talk that I know how to read a map and railway schedule, he allowed me to take a journey and gave me 50 guldens. During my travels, I lived on rolls and slept in waiting rooms. Besides other deficiencies, the ignorance of writing bothered me most. I did know how to write, but I had to admit that nobody could read what I wrote. I was ashamed to give merchants copies of such contracts. There were many other things that I had to be ashamed of. It was above all my handwriting and grammar, untidy clothing, ignorance of manners in better society, and finally, my age of 16. Sometimes the merchants would look me over and considered it an offence to their trade when such a smudgy-faced boy like me has ranked himself among the travelling salesmen. They often endeavoured and succeeded in taking my courage away. In other persons, and these were apparently the friends of the youth entrepreneurship, my young age produced enthusiasm. They were enthusiastic about seeing a young Moravian coming to offer them a business contract. Altogether, I spent 14 days travelling. I brought home a large number of orders, and from the 50 guldens brought back home full 35 guldens. The discovery of Prague and the new way of selling were for our business the same as the discovery of America was for Spain. Now it rarely started. It was possible to keep expanding our production beyond limits because the new way of marketing was not bound in space. My father saw himself approaching closer to his dreams, and his dreams used to be daring even if his pockets were empty. I remember one incident which happened when we were still poor and when even today afford me the insight into the character and plans of my father. It was at the fair in Hradiště. My father was standing in the circle of fellow shoemakers and said, pointing at the smokestack of Mayo's sugar works, "My boys shall one day have a smokestack just like that." The fair was bad, and nobody had any groschen in their pockets. Everybody was secretly wishing to hear, "Let's go and have something to warm up." But when it happened, it turned out to be too much for their numbed bodies and sunken minds. This was actually a blasphemy to our collective misery. Shoemakers drew closely around my father and started cursing him and ridiculing him. I was afraid for him and even angry with him and imprudent utterances. But my father did not give up, and the growling shoemakers dispersed back to their stands. In those days, there were not yet as many smokestacks as there are today. In the region known to our market men, there were only two, in Hradiště and in Napajedla. The one in Hradiště belonged to the Mayos, rich and lofty Jews, and the other one belonged to Count Baltazzi. It was unheard of that some ordinary person of the Czech, or as we used to say, Moravian, origin, would ever dared to aspire to something like that. That's why the shoemakers were so upset and could not forget and forgive my father for many fairs to come.